When I first met my ex-husband, I actually tried to hook him up with a friend of mine. It wasn't really my type, but he was charming and seemed like a nice enough guy. So I kept talking to him. I kept pointing my friend in his direction and kind of trying to get the two of them talking. By the end of our lunch, where he had been our server, he had asked me for my phone number. I didn't give it to him, but I agreed to take his. And then I didn't call him. In fact, I threw his number in the trash. A week or two later, my friend called me from a local bar and said she'd run into him and he begged her to call me. Reluctantly, I went up to meet them. Over the next couple weeks, I got the love bombing of my life. And while things were moving fast, I kind of wondered if this guy could be the soulmate he claimed to be. Fast forward several months, and my company decided to move me to a town several hours away, a different one than I was in. Though he had been charming and sweet, I pretty much intended to move and leave this guy behind. It wasn't my type. But when my mother accidentally met him, thanks to the same friend I tried to hook him up with, long story, she instantly claimed to like him. It's almost funny to me now since they seem so different but were in fact two sides of the same coin. Anyway, she ended up suggesting that he move with me to the new city, and while we'd only been dating a few months, what do you think I did? Of course, I invited him to do exactly that. In hindsight, I realized I did this because I wanted to please my mother, who was never happy with me anyway. That is a story for another day. Anywho, once we lived together, everything changed, and his true and toxic face came out. Still, I thought I loved him, and so we snuck around and we got married 2 months after the move. Long story short, I regretted it. His charm was lost for me very quickly, but one thing kept bugging me. He was nice to people who weren't me. So charming and nice and awesome. I mean, everyone loved him when they met him, at least till they got to know him. But for me, he was cruel and just plain old mean. I actually remember asking him questions like, why do you treat strangers better than you treat me? Why can't you just be nice to me? In fact, it got so bad that when it would come to the holidays or my birthday, I'd always tell him I don't need a physical gift, not that it'd get me one anyway, but I'd ask for him to just be nice to me for the day. It rarely worked out in my favor. I couldn't quite understand what was going on, but when I later realized that he might have been a toxic narcissist, I finally figured out why he was so cruel to me and kind to others. So that's exactly what we're talking about today at queenbeing.com. Exactly how and why narcissists can be so cruel to you and so kind to everyone else. So let's get started. As you probably already know, narcissists can be incredibly painfully rude, mean, and even downright abusive in the way that they speak to you, treat you. But why is it so easy for them? What is it about these cluster B personalities or their disorders that allow them to treat people so horribly without even a second thought? Why are narcissists so cruel to you but so kind to others? Why does the narcissist show their charming side to strangers while you get stuck with having to put up with all the BS? Let's talk about it. Number one, familiarity breeds contempt for narcissists. It's simple, really. People who don't know the narcissist well are only going to see the nice, charming side because the narcissist can't trust that they'll feed their ego otherwise. But you, my friend, you have proven yourself to be a nice, reliable source of supply. And let's not forget the fact that you have, on occasion, had the nerve to attempt to get your own wants and needs met. Obviously, this would anger a narcissist and create resentment since they see you as an extension of themselves rather than a whole person. So if your needs and your wants aren't in line with what they believe they should be, well, there goes the resentment. It soars. And if there's so much resentment, well, then they no longer have a reason to share their charming side with you. In fact, they are abusive and cruel as a way to punish you for no longer feeding their ego by expressing that you have wants and needs as well. So remember that the narcissist is extremely egotistical, very entitled, and will do whatever they can to get what they want at your expense. This leads to their devaluing you, and in many cases can also lead to permanent or temporary discard, but we'll get to that in a minute. In any case, it isn't quite that simple. There are so many other factors to consider, which brings me to number two. They have no empathy. Really, the first and most obvious reason that narcissists are cruel to you is their lack of empathy. But why then are they able to be kind to other people who aren't you? Well, it shouldn't make sense, but for narcissists, it's all about the attention and the supply that they can get from other people. You might have become old news or too available to them. They see you regularly and they know you've seen behind the mask, so you can't fool them anymore. Others will still be enamored with their false selves. So it makes sense and makes it far more exciting for the narcissist to get supply from other people when they can. Now, we're going to dig a little deeper into this in just a minute, but for now, let's talk about the psychological component that everyone forgets. Number three, they won't take responsibility. In addition to the marked lack of empathy that narcissists display, they really have a hard time accepting emotional responsibility in any relationship. Therefore, they don't see any reason to be nice to you unless they can see a way that doing so benefits them directly. And while they won't take responsibility for their hurtful behavior, they also lack the ability to become truly attached to you in a healthy way, which further distances them emotionally. So when they're mean to you, when they're cruel to you, rather than acknowledging and admitting it, and doing what they can to make up for it, narcissists will ignore you, or worse, get even crueler and start to say things like, can't you ever be happy? And oh, look, here comes the dark cloud. And speaking of the inability to create healthy attachments, number four, they lack object constancy. Have you ever heard about the Freudian theory of object constancy? Freud's theory basically means that most people have the ability to still have a positive emotional bond with someone when they're feeling angry, hurt, or disappointed with them at the same time. In other words, your average person is capable of loving someone and still being angry with them at the same time. Narcissists don't have this ability. So they literally aren't able to love you and be angry in the same moment. So when they're angry with you, they can't love you. Simple. Number four, the preconditioning factor. You know the narcissist a little too well. The narcissist has spent months or years manipulating, controlling, and conditioning you to accept their abuse. As a result, you know them better than most people, and you're sadly pretty used to dealing with their behavior. This, in healthier relationships, is a good thing. But since you're already in the position of being a narcissistic supply, the narcissist feels comfortable with you. Lucky you, right? That means you're among the privileged few who get to see the true face of the narcissist. Wearing their mask or being their false self in public is exhausting, so when they're behind closed doors with a preconditioned supply, their true selves can come out and play. That also means you become their emotional dumpster, and they take out all of their feelings and trash, frustration and anger on you, even though for the most part, it's bottled up stuff that isn't related to you. Which brings me to number five, the idealization phase. Narcissists have a typical relationship cycle in which they begin by idealizing you, where they love bomb you and treat you like you're worth your weight in gold, you know, the pedestal. But inevitably, something happens and then they recognize that in fact, you're a flawed human like everyone else, and gosh darn it, this is about the time they start to actively devalue you. Now, at first, it'll be little subtle insults and jabs, but before long, they will be directly mean, disrespectful, and outright rude, which leads to the discard phase in which they abandon you either emotionally or actually, or both. This can take the form of the silent treatment, ghosting, or even actually ending the relationship. Worse, it can happen over and over for literally decades in the same relationship, and this, my friend, explains one more reason that narcissists are so cruel to you and kind to everyone else. Because they are, or could be, in the idealization phase with anyone they don't know very well at any given moment. And in many cases, people who do have the ability to set firm boundaries with the narcissist, at least from the beginning, they're automatically going to walk away if the narcissist gets too rude or disrespectful. And the narcissist knows it. So how do you deal with a narcissist who is cruel to you, but kind to others? Well, you start by taking care of yourself and by setting strong boundaries. See, when you're with a narcissist, they get upset with you for doing literally anything for yourself. So you just stop doing stuff for yourself. I did the same thing. It felt a lot easier not to do what I needed to do because it made the narcissist less angry with me if I just did for him instead. Or at least it seemed like he preferred that I would ignore my own needs. This unfortunately led to my becoming a shadow of myself, and I didn't even know who I was. But the first step toward healing is to start recognizing that you matter, that your needs and even your wants matter just as much as everyone else's. And to remember that if you can't take care of yourself, my friend, no one else is likely to do it for you. And I mean emotionally, physically, and otherwise. Narcissists don't change, but you can. And if you allow yourself to begin by doing something nice for yourself every day, even something small, it's a good jumping off point. After that, start figuring out what your boundaries are, and little by little, you can reclaim yourself and your life on a whole new level. Remember that you matter. Remember that you are as important as everyone else, and remember to take care of your own needs. So what do you think? This brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, have you ever experienced a narcissist who treated you badly but was kind to strangers? How'd you deal with it? What was the experience like for you? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life, and hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you here and here, and while you're here, hit the subscribe button so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.